Keep push, push, push. Pray until something happens. We want to pray and we don't see results like we think we should. We give up. Curtis Mayfield said, keep on pushing like your leaders told you to. Unless that blessed day has come and we don't care where we come from because we're a winner and everybody knows it too. You got to keep on. Yeah. Like your leaders tell you to. Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of How to Push Your Family. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Push Your Family.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, always in every prayer of mine, praying for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my witness how greatly I longed after you in all tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and unto the glory of his praise. And we come today, and we want to share with you a message entitled, How to Push Your Family. The word push that we're going to use today is not original with me. As a matter of fact, I heard a minister coming on the radio at 3 o'clock in the afternoon by the name of Paul Shepherd, and he used this acronym, P-U-S-H, push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. What we got going on here, brother? I don't need the mic now. I can go without it. We good? All right. Okay. All right. I thought maybe rapture was getting ready to take place or something. All right. Pray until something happens. And all of us have prayed for loved ones, and sometimes it seems like we're praying and we don't see anything happening. But I want to encourage you that in the midst of whatever your loved ones are going through, however hard-hearted they might be, no matter how rebellious their spirit might be, that we would pray that you would actually continue to lift up that individual, that you would storm the gates of heaven and hell praying for your loved ones. And don't stop praying until something happens. So often we give up. You know, we need to realize the importance and the power of prayer. See, the thing is that prayer is not important. I often tell people this, and I heard an evangelist say this, that prayer, the prayer ministry, is often the Cinderella of the church. You know, if we talk about a concert, we can fill a church. If we talk about some great preacher coming, we can fill a church. If we talk about a program, we can fill a church. But when we talk about prayer, it seems like the numbers are kind of scattered and they're kind of thin. Prayer is the Cinderella of the church. Prayer is the neglected member of the church. I thought about this as I read this in the book. Suppose that you are a cameraman and you were shooting an episode of The Lone Ranger. Now, for those of you who
may not have seen the Lone Ranger growing up. You remember he was the masked man. He had his sidekick Tonto, and he had a horse called Silver, right? That was all right. The horse was named Silver. So say you were shooting an episode of the Lone Ranger, and you were the camera person. All right, and now here goes the Lone Ranger on his horse, Silver. Here goes Tonto. I don't remember the name of Tonto's horse. Anybody? Scout. Okay, Scout. All right. So here's the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And here they are getting ready to go chase some bad guys. And you know, you're here. And this actually happened in one episode. And the Lone Ranger was getting ready to go off to chase some bad guys. And this monk came out of this monasterium, and he said, Lone Ranger, he said, what can I do to help? And the Lone Ranger said, just go back inside and pray. And then the Lone Ranger and Tonto, they gallop off into the sunset to chase the bad guys. Now, let me ask this question. If you were the cameraman, who would you follow? The Lone Ranger or the priest? Let's be honest now. Let's be honest now. Would you follow the Lone Ranger or the priest? I guarantee you that most of us, down to a person, you know, don't get religious on me this morning now. Don't get religious on me this morning. Because I guarantee that most of you, down to a person, would follow the Lone Ranger and Tonto. I guarantee you that you would. Why? Because you think that's where the action is. You think that's where the victory is. That's where you think the battle is. And very few people would follow that priest back into the room and put the camera on him praying. But yet and still, that's where the power is. That's where the power is when that person is down on their knees in intercession, praying for those around us. You got to pray until something happens. In your notes today, on the back side of your notes, I have an article entitled Intercessory Prayer. Intercessory Prayer. And I just want to clarify some things as we move on into the message today, because we see that this is the message that Paul has for us today as he prays and intercedes for the Philippians. Intercessory prayer. And I tried to underline and bold what the things I want to draw to our attention. Intercessory prayer. What is it? Intercessory prayer is prayer for others. It actually pleads another person's case. Intercessory prayer pleads with God on behalf of another or others who desperately need God's intervention. Yo, you got family members. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God. They're not concerned about God. And maybe that their whole salvation depends on your prayers. Now, I know that God, you know, can override everything else and save somebody. I don't understand all that. But I wonder sometimes if God is just not looking at our hearts and seeing where we are in prayer, and God works according to our prayer. You know, I believe that if I'm praying for a loved one that's not saved, all right, then I believe that what God will do, the more I pray, the more opportunities God will send to this person to hear the gospel. Maybe somebody will go. God will put it on somebody's heart to give them a tract. God will put it on somebody's heart to go and share the gospel with them. God will maybe even, and I hate to say this, but I've seen it happen. We have testimonies, and I can give you testimony after testimony how God had to allow a tragedy to come into that person's life in order to try to bring them to the point of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the more God's people intercede for others, the more God is working on behalf of that individual. I always say, little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. And I'm talking about intercessory prayer today. And intercessory prayer is where you stand in the gap, praying for someone who might not know the Lord, who don't necessarily care about the things of God. But here you are on your knees, storming the gates of heaven, praying for that individual. Intercessory prayer. Well, what is the biblical foundation of intercessory prayer? Well, according to the New Testament, we are all called priests. The biblical foundation is found in the Old Testament with the priests. Now, what did the priests in the Old Testament do? We need to understand the difference between the ministry of the prophet and the ministry of the priest. The ministry of the prophet heard from God and went to the people. The priest went to God on behalf of the people. And in the New Testament, we are called priests. We are called a kingdom and generation of priests. My brothers and sisters, are you fulfilling your priestly duties today? Are you living up to your priestly duties? Or are you doing what it is, one of the main things that God has called you to do? He has called you to be an intercessor. And then the last part of it, intercessory prayer, our model. Jesus Christ is our model for intercession. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Romans 8:34, he makes intercession for us. In Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession. Jesus is our model. Jesus is the one that we look at. And what was he always doing? He prayed for the sick. He prayed for those who need to be healed. He prayed for those who were in need. He prayed for those who were outside of the will of God. He prayed for them. He interceded on their behalf. Intercessory prayer. You got to push, my brothers and sisters. You got to push. You got to pray until something happens. If somebody asks you to pray for them, I thought about this. If you go to the next slide. If somebody asks you to pray for them. All right, next slide. All right, we already saw that one. All right, the slide that I was trying to get to, it says, what an honor to think that someone would have such confidence in our audience with God that they would ask us to call their name. If somebody asks you to pray for them, if somebody said, man, I need you to pray for me, man, that's saying something. That they see something in you that has driven them to come and ask you to lift them up in prayer. And that's an awesome responsibility. You know, sometimes, if somebody asks me to pray for them, I do it right then. I say, well, let's pray right now. Because, you know, you move on, and sometimes you get caught up in things and you forget. But you need to realize that prayer is important, especially if somebody has come to you and requested that you pray for them. I like what the Queen of England said about John Knox. She said, I fear his prayers more than I do the armies of my enemies. I fear his prayers. Yeah. Are you an intercessor today? You know, there's no getting around it. Each one of us should have a quiet time with God. Each one of us should have a time with God where we are not only spending time in devotion, getting before the presence of God, but in that quiet time, there should be a time of prayers for others. And I want to ask you this question today. Is your name known in hell? Is your name known in hell? Whenever hell mentions somebody who's making a difference. Oh, help me this morning, Holy Spirit. Whenever hell mentions somebody who's making a difference on their knees, and if Satan was to send out and attack people who are coming against his kingdom in prayer, would you be one of the people that he attacks? Is there a poster in hell with your picture on it? Wanted, this individual, because you are, and you know what? See, the thing about intercessory prayer is that, you know, I had to go to seminary, and you know, the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. The Holy Spirit called me to preach, but then I went to seminary to sharpen my skills. People who have professions, that they have gone to school to sharpen their professions, but when it comes to this thing called intercessory prayer, that we're all on the same level. You don't have to go, excuse my English, you don't have to go to nobody's school to be an intercessor. You don't have to go and spend 10 years getting educated to be an intercessor. All you got to do is get down on your knees and begin to call on the Lord on behalf of other people. Man, it could it be that with the reason that we don't see the people's hearts change and souls get right because we're not spending the time on our knees like we should. Oh, we'll talk about somebody. We'll talk about them in a minute. And I heard somebody say, if you're going to put me down on your prayer list. If you're going to put me down on your prayer list. Who are you praying for right now? Every morning when I come to the Lord in prayer, there are people that I'm lifting up before the Lord. There are people. Let me move on to my first point because that kind of talks about what I want to deal with. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the frequency of pushing. Praying until something happens. Praying until something happens. The frequency. And when I say frequency, I'm talking about how often do we pray for those individuals. Well, look at the Apostle Paul. He said here in verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. What is the frequency of his prayer? Always. You know, what does the word always mean in the Greek? It means always. Paul said that always, you know, you are on my heart, that every time I come to the Lord, that I'm lifting you up before him. And what Paul is letting the Philippians know, he's saying that every time that I get down on my knees, I don't forget you. Wow. Every time I spend time on my knees praying out to God, I don't forget you. He said, always praying for you and in every prayer. Man, I was trying to, you know, I read commentary after commentary after commentary after commentary, and I was trying to see if anybody was commenting on the fact that he, every time that he prayed, that he was praying for them. Because I just find it kind of hard to believe that every time Paul prayed, he prayed for the Philippians. Well, you know what? I didn't find any commentators that were made commentation on that verse. They weren't saying anything about that specifically. So I just got to go by what he's saying here, and I'm going to take it literally that every time he prayed for the Philippians. Now, in your notes, under this point right here, the frequency of pushing, he talks about in every prayer of mine. This was proof of a particular and special affection that while there were so many objects demanding his prayers and so many other churches which he had founded, he never forgot them. You know all the people that Paul met? Man, this brother traveled all over Asia. He traveled over Italy. He actually was able to travel all over the Holy Land. He met a lot of people. He started a lot of church. But yet and still, in spite of that, now watch this, I'm going somewhere. Watch this now. In spite of that, he told the Philippians that every time I pray for you. What am I trying to say? That these folk were near and dear to the heart of Paul. Paul reflected back when he went down by the river with those group of women and he had his first church service. He reflected on Lydia who got baptized. He reflected upon the Philippian jailer who got saved and his whole family. He reflected upon the young lady who he cast out a demon who no doubt became a member of that church. And Paul said, every time I think of prayer and every time I pray, he said, I'm praying for you. Why? Because you are near and dear to my heart. This is my point. You have people that you love. You have people that are in your life. Do you constantly pray for them every day? Or do you just pray, well, you know what? I'll get them this week and then maybe I'll get them next week. And, you know, if I can catch them a couple times this month. I tell you what, see, that's why we're not seeing the results. I tell you, there are some people that every time that I go to God in prayer, I'm praying for. Every time I go to God in prayer, I'm praying for them. And that's what Paul is saying right here, that you ought to pray for those who are near and dear to your heart. Yeah, I pray for the Bethany family. Yeah, I pray for my friends and relatives. Yeah, I pray for people that are my acquaintances. I pray for them. But you know what? There's a group of people that I'm praying that are near and dear to my heart. And I'm praying for them every time I hit my knees in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Who are those that are near and dear to you? Just begin to think about it. Who are those that are near and dear to your heart? These people were near and dear to the heart of Paul. And Paul said, every time I pray for them. Now those people that are near and dear to you, when was the last time you got down and once again, I hear people say, well, you know, I pray for people as I go along. And you know, that's all good. But I'm saying, when was the last time that you came to God in your quiet time? That you came and you got alone with God and you spent time in prayer for the people who are near and dear to your heart? You ought to be doing that every day. You ought to be doing that every day. Every day that you come to God, that you ought to be praying for those people who are close to you. Push. Pray until something happens. You ought to be praying until you see God do something special in their life. Jesus said, ask and you shall, or seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door shall be opened. And that means that keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. It don't mean knock today and then walk away and come back next month and knock. It means keep on, continually keep knocking, continually keep praying. Man, I want to see God do something in the lives of people that I'm praying for. And you know what? Let me put it this way. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed for me. My mother prayed for me. She had me on her mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed for me. King Jesus prayed for me. Had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad he prayed for me. Maybe you're where you are right now because somebody prayed for you. You say, well, you know, nobody ever told me that they was praying for me. I don't know. You don't know who's praying for you. You don't know what difference is being made in your life because somebody is interceding. Oh, man. Don't stop. Keep push, push, push. Pray until something happens. We want to pray and we don't see results like we think we should. We give up. Amen. Curtis Mayfield said, keep on pushing like your leaders told you to. Unless that blessed day has come and we don't care where we come from because we're a winner and everybody knows it too. You got to keep on. Yeah! Like your leaders tell you to. Keep on praying. Keep on pushing. The frequency of pushing. And then secondly, we see, this is what I call the fervor of pushing. The fervor of pushing. Look what he said.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Push Your Family. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Push Your Family, you can contact us at AndKurtAndJesus.org and request How to Push Your Family. That's AndKurtAndJesus.org and request How to Push Your Family. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, AndKurtAndJesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.